I've been studying extensively the trespass offerings. And last night we studied a little bit about what there are two kinds of trespasses. Obviously, one is the trespass that you do to God, and the other is the trespass you do to your fellow man. The trespasses to God are very subtle because they're done in regards to the holy things. As we talked about last night, that the holy things are prayer and praise and worship, and service, and all of them are done in mixture. In other words, you mix your own in praise, you praise without repentance. In prayer, you pray for self-seeking. All of the things are mixed, and so you, in God's eyes, those are a trespass. You have trespassed God in relationship to holy things. And we were going to talk, and we will talk a little bit tonight about the trespass man against man, but for some reason last night I remembered something that I had forgotten, and I don't think I've ever taught on this. But I was thinking in regards to what the constant trespasses that you do, that married couples do to each other, and what that means, and how is it resolved, and how you constantly, the three greatest enemies of a marriage are pride, self-seeking, intolerance, and strife. And those enemies of the marriage are the enemies of God, and they're enemies of the bride of Christ. And I thought about all of the trespasses, how you bite and devour one another and you're consumed. And I began to think about what marriage was and what it meant. And all of a sudden, this thing that I had forgotten, that I knew the very minute that I was a believer, came back to me. And it's something we've never taught on, and it's something I don't think any of you know. But why does God want more little kids? I mean, why is the result of intercourse, you at least have the potential of it being a little kid? The scriptures say that if God wanted more little kids, he'd raise up the stones and call forth them and make them sons out of Abraham. The only reason you have children is to reveal a mystery. The only reason you're married is to reveal a mystery. But what is the mystery? What the hell does it mean that the two shall become one flesh? Does that mean at the point of intercourse that you're then one flesh? No. What it means is that the moment you're married, the woman and the man, at the point of the ceremony or the connection or the agreement, create a new flesh. And that flesh is typified by a small child. Just as that small child cannot exist without nurturing and cherishing, so the marriage cannot exist as the third party to the male-female. The marriage is the spiritual child of that union. You understand? And the only reason that God has made it so that in the act of sexual intercourse you have a child is so that you can reveal, so it's seen in us, what that child needs. What the spiritual child, the new flesh, the new creation as a result of the new union, needs. Now, most of you who have spent your life as married people totally and completely abusing and neglecting the new child that was created at the union of your marriage. And for many of you, you have had several abortions. Am I communicating?
Yes.
You've each gone your separate ways, both in the natural and the spiritual. You may have matured greatly spiritually, and you may have all understanding, but the child, the new flesh that is the resultant of the marriage, is dying because of abuse and neglect. And that typifies the church. Nobody's disagreeing.
I agree.
Everybody understand perfectly.
I don't understand what entity this child is. What is it?
It's the spiritual manifestation of the bride of Christ.
But what is it in the marriage? I don't understand what is it. That
it's the new creation. The two shall be one flesh, one new flesh.
So is it something separate?
It's separate from both of you.
It's the relationship.
It's something totally new that didn't exist before.
Was it the relationship?
No. It's a new creation.
The impression that it's two people is a lie.
No. You're not hearing me.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not. They're still two people. But there's a new creation as a result of the union.
You have to see it by analogy, like saying if there's a new creation because of a union, those former two identities are inextricably combined.
There's a new creation there.
Right.
You get divorced tomorrow, you'll never see each other.
That new creation is not two separate sets of gene pools, it's one.
But my point to you is that purpose of that child is only to reveal the spiritual new creation, the new flesh that was created at the point of marriage.
Right, and what I'm saying is that new creation is the reality.
No. The reality that you can perceive with your senses is two separate individuals going on their separate ways.
Right, and that's not the truth.
It's the truth in terms of everything that we can perceive about truth. The only way you'll understand this is to understand that there is a spiritual creation just as real as that baby is, that is the result of the union of those two individuals. And it has nothing to do, yet everything to do, with the two separate entities that call themselves man and wife.
Okay, what about...
No, you didn't. You said they don't exist anymore.
So the old creation continues to exist.
Exists.
So in the body of Christ, there's three now.
I knew nobody's going to understand this.
I'm in the body of Christ, and Aries in the body of Christ, and then the...
Forget the body of Christ. Forget everything religious you've ever heard of. Forget any God stuff. Forget religion. Forget anything you've ever heard. We're talking about a picture that God has used to reveal the total truth. And that picture, it doesn't matter whether they're Hindus or atheists. At the moment that they join together in what the world calls marriage, a new creation is created. And that new creation, most of the time, dies because of neglect or abuse, instantly or quickly. Don't try to combine analogies. Don't try to combine types. This is one type that is going to reveal the plan of God. Don't mix everything together. Go to Ephesians 5. Now if you don't agree, argue with me. If you don't understand, ask questions.
This third person
thing. It's a spiritual entity. just as real as that from God's standpoint, as the jillions of abortions and the jillions of children that are around.
Is it something that either person sees?
No.
Aware of?
No. Yes.
By what means?
Laying down their life.
For each other?
No. For the new creation. Just as in the natural, that baby cannot exist unless both of you lay down your life for it, so in the spirit, the entity that was created at the point of marriage cannot exist unless both of you lay down your lives for it.
Gary and Judy have to minister together. John and Josanna have to minister together.
Yeah, but they okay. Well, let's go on. Ephesians 5, verse 22. Don't let me ever overpower you.
It seems like the only alternative to that is to continue the escalation of the volume. I mean, greater volume doesn't get it.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about.
I mean, I'm saying something and you're shouting louder and louder and louder as I attempt to say something.
No, I didn't shout.
It doesn't get it.
He spoke very loud.
I was speaking softly.
I'd be more than happy to continue the conversation, but turning up the volume doesn't get it.
Why?
It just doesn't. I mean, I don't like
why?
It.
Why?
I'm not going to shout back at you.
Why? Because you'd rather avoid conflict than know the truth.
No, I'll be glad to have conflict, but I'm not going to sit here and shout.
Then what? No, analyze what you just said.
I'll wait.
You would rather avoid... I mean, I'm serious.
You don't want to end up like what just like Larry did.
I just don't understand why you have to start shouting when I say something different than what you said.
I mean, hear me. How many of you would rather avoid conflict than know the truth?
Know the truth?
Sure.
Oh,
then
no.
I'd rather do both.
I've got know the truth and avoid conflict.
No, isn't that the nature of the beast? You'd rather avoid conflict than know the truth.
How many people want to talk to Larry when he's in a bad mood? So give me the answer. Or me.
But you see, I mean, well, I mean, if I can intimidate you, just think what God can do to you. Well, let's now we got to settle this other issue. For this cause shall a man leave his mother and his father, and the two shall be one flesh. It's in every marriage ceremony almost that you've ever had. Some of you had several. What? Right. You've had a lot of abortions. Some of you a lot more than others. What does that mean? Have you ever? Do you know what that means?
What?
The two shall be one flesh. What does that mean? I mean, you've heard it all your lives. You've repeated it. You've heard it. You've had it applied to you. What does it mean?
Flesh.
Well, let's.
Then we talk about the spirit, and it's like,
okay.
You know, there's somewhere something's got to give.
Okay, what's got to give is this.
That's
this.
That's it.
What's got to give is the understanding that first is the natural, then the spiritual. That every natural phenomenon reveals isn't anything of and of itself. It's only there to reveal the spiritual situation. Why are we made to have kids? God doesn't need any kids. God doesn't need any more little monsters running around. I mean, Face it. Oh, but God chose my kid. Right. Oh, God had... Yeah, right. Another little hunk of Adam that's cursed. God provided children for this body for one purpose, that we might see a spiritual truth, that the fullness of our understanding with regard to the revelation of Christ and the bride and Christ would be made more real in our experience. No matter how you love the kid, no matter how cute she is, no matter how hidey, 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 shut up. No matter how any of that, that has nothing to do in the natural. The natural child has nothing to do with the plan of God. That's right. I can't intimidate her. The purpose of the child is to reveal a truth, to reveal another aspect of Jesus and his relationship to the bride.
And I thought all this time it was toward us into the kingdom.
Toward you? Well, see, if you wouldn't have been so stubborn all these years, you wouldn't have had to have four of them to learn the lesson.
I hope my stubbornness is over.
Now, there is an antagonism that is required for the plan of God, right? Okay, so we cannot get by with coming on and saying, oh, praise God, because the scriptures deny it. It says, no man ever yet hated his own flesh. But the married couple, by the definition of hate, the spiritual definition, spend half their life hating each other. So therefore, if you take that definition, they're hating their own flesh. The scriptures say, and it's either right or wrong, that no man has yet hated his own flesh. I mean, let's read this. Let's read this right here. Ephesians 5. Shut up, Janice. Not you, this one. I won't pick on you that quick. You've got about 3 more minutes.
Right? I start in 25 and then back up.
Good idea.
In the Greek. If the Holy Spirit had
wanted us to read the better text. Yeah.
This way I've been understanding all these years. I've been reading it all wrong.
Wives. This is not now we're at Doug and Tom's favorite verse. And Gary, wives, submit!
Never heard it been like that.
You like that, Gary? Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. And remember what we talked about, that scripture's relationship to the offerings. You don't remember. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having, you know what, In order for you to be a glorious church, you must understand that God is overjoyed. If you're running around thinking God's pissed off at you, you're not going to be glorious. So, don't lose that thing that some of you understood for the first time last night. God is not just happy, he's, what's that, ebullient. What is that word? Is that a good word? He's bubbling forth. He's overjoyed. Because not only was restitution made, but 20% more was made. Not only was it was returned to fellowship, but much more than returned to fellowship. Okay? Not having spot or wrinkle. Remember when we studied spot? The word spot is a Greek word that means, it's a technical term, and it means it's for ship stuff. What do you call that? Navy stuff. Huh? Nautical. That's nautical stuff. And it means it's a spot is a rock that's hidden below the surface of the water that will cause the ship to wreck. But it's hidden. It can't be seen, not with sensory perception. Mm-hmm. Not having spot, nor wrinkle, nor any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. And for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you, in particular, so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Now,
you should be stoned.
What do you do?
I'm not aware that I did anything.
Probably grin smugly.
Now, just accept it for a moment. Just accept this for a moment. That I don't care, you know, I've always said that the problem in the world isn't the divorce problem, it's the marriage problem. But I've come to understand something a little bit different. Do you understand how many times some of you have been married in one sense? No. Were you that promiscuous? No. Now I'm talking about how many different partners you've been married to. From one sense. The problem was is that the marriage produced normally a stillborn. It had infant, what's that, infant death syndrome?
Forgot to breathe.
Yeah, SIDS. Our, it lasted for a minute, and then it died, it was aborted. Or maybe even the child was born and there was some evidence of it, but then it died from neglect. Now, if you'll accept for a moment that the joining of the man and the woman, it doesn't matter what the world calls marriage or what you think is a marriage or anything else, the joining of the man and the woman produces a new thing that's separate from yet intimately connected to the man and the woman. And that new creation, that one flesh, must be nourished and cherished in order for it to survive. The world thinks the reason, you know, there's only one reason that you, even if you get married wrongly, I mean, in what I'm talking about, even if you just have the hots and you go out for a one-night stand, there's still a marriage in one sense. And the and I don't care how spiritual you are, the first blush, the first activity of the joining is, for most of you, it's been the best there ever was. There was an excitement about the newness, and ever since then it's been denigrating. And you have to play all kinds of new tricks to get it up, or whatever you do. The reason is that you're focused on the wrong thing. The natural has to die in order that the spiritual will be realized. But the promise of God is that you can realize the spiritual in the natural. Now, how do you do it? This is how to tonight. How do you do that? First of all, by simply seeing what's going on. Then the doing of it will become natural. If you could see every time that you and got in an argument, you were taking a knife and slitting his throat, what would you do? You'd ask for forgiveness. If you could see that every time you treated your spouse lightly, you were strangling the child, what would you do? Nobody have to tell you what to do. If you could see, then the act, the result of that seeing is automatic. If you could see that every time you start to get in a discussion and it turns to an argument about protecting individual rights, that you were literally eating that baby, taking bites out of its flesh, what would you do? You'd ask for forgiveness. Well, I want each of you that are married to be, the only reason you're married is to be the leading edge of the revelation. You're not married for any other reason. You're not married to make each other happy. You're not married to have kids. You're not married to legitimize kids. You're not married to make your parents happy. You're married that through the revelation of your experience, we as a body might see the living Christ in action. Now, how in the world, then, do you nourish and cherish the new flesh, the new creation, the new child? Let's just call it, that new thing is, we don't have a name for it, it's marriage. It's a spiritual reality that's more real than anything that you can feel, see, hear, touch, or smell. The only way you can do it is both of you first have to see it. And no man, nor woman, ever hated his own flesh. And as he sees that new creation as his own flesh, he's not going to bite and devour it. He's not going to cut its throat. He's not going to protect his rights for the sake of the destruction of that child. He's not going to insist, or she's not going to insist on her rightness. There's only one area. There's only one way to accomplish that, to the nourishing and cherishing of the new creation. There's only one way. You feed that child, first of all, with the milk of the breast. Now, what does that mean to the spiritual? Give me your hand. probably was, you remember, I used to tell you that the producer of the talk show that I had, the director, he thought it should be called the White Knuckles and Perspiration Show. Well, what I'm gonna say right now is gonna be called the White Knuckles Prayers Between the Husbands and the Wives. Because the only way that child that we are now calling the new creation or marriage is nurtured is by prayer. Not what you've thought, not, oh God, hi there, but prayer where you live, prayer at the short hairs, prayer that says, and you don't have to talk to each other, just talk to the third party, talk to God. And you sit down and make an agreement tonight that any one of you married people can call the other one into that time anytime you feel like it. And the only thing that's required is that you join hands and begin feeding that new creation. And you don't even have to look at the other party. You can say, I don't know what's the matter, but I think she's a bad lay. She doesn't excite me. She bores me in the bedroom. You know, it's kind of a chicken shit way of praying, but at least it's getting it out. But I don't want any sensation that you feel or know or sense that you perceive as negative about your spouse that is not settled in this manner. If this doesn't take place, you are killing the reason that we're here. You're just as sure as letting that baby die from malnutrition. Now we're talking difficult. Because in some of you there's 10 years of strife and hiding that have been building up. There's fears, there's inadequacies that you have not, and we think we've been honest in groves and stuff as a group. We haven't even started yet. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Darlene's fingers are turning purple.
She hears.
But I want you to sense something in this. Well, all that this means is it's a clearer understanding of the trespass offering. It has to start in the marriage. Then it has to start to each one of us. And to see that whatever the problem is that could possibly be extant has been covered by the blood of Christ. Not only covered, it's been repaid, and a 20%, and much more than repaid. Amen. So that you can begin to live in glory and in joy, no longer in fear and mousiness and all the other crap.
Yeah, that's the question that comes to mind. I'm hearing you. I'm with you. And the question that comes to my mind is this relationship that we're talking about between a husband and a wife, this reveals the relationship amongst the brethren and reveals the relationship
I understand. I see now where I didn't close the loop. Forgive me for hollering at you. But I didn't know I was doing it. All that we can be in the natural is friends of the bridegroom. Because the bride comes forth out of us as a new creation, a spiritual entity that cannot be seen with the eye. And we, as friends of the bridegroom, remember, those that are counted worthy to enter into the kingdom of God neither marry nor are given in marriage. So the thing that is happening is a new creation is coming forth. A life is being born out of the relationship of this body to the Lord Jesus Christ. In the same way that a life is being formed out of the relationship between a man and a woman. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now, I don't know if I've ever heard this anywhere, so don't try to tell anybody about this, or you get in big trouble.
It's like, you know, he was sitting there, you know, saying, oh, I think I'm sick. I don't think I know how to love people or something, because he's never met a girl that he wants to marry or whatever. And I said, the only love that even exists is the love between Christ and the bride. And I mean, if, you know, in a marriage or in here, we become partakers of that, because as members of the bride, we see Christ, you know, in each other. You know, and then we're partakers in love. But, you know, there's no way to apply this anywhere else.
Amen. You understand that what's set before you is pure joy. It's not just joy that you've ever... It's not joy you can even... Scriptures call it joy unspeakable. And it's realized in your marriage. And I don't care what shape your marriage is in today. I don't care how nice you think it is, or how ugly you think it is. Forget any habit patterns that have been established. Neglect those things that have been behind. Forget everything about each one of you that you've ever known. And get ready for an explosion. All it takes is the agreement as a part of the contract that you, either one of you, has the right to call the other one into the white knuckles or purple fingers, whatever, session at any time. And the only requirement is the same thing we've always said. It's honesty beyond honesty. And if you can't talk to each other, talk to God. But see it, that you're not, what's happening has nothing to do with either one of you. By the act, I don't care how ugly it seems, I don't care how negative it seems, by the act of speaking it, what you are doing is nourishing the new creation.
With this understanding, what does adultery mean?
That's a whole...
With this understanding, what are the implications of fornication?
Well, let's not worry about that tonight. I want you to settle in your heart, those of you that are married, and I'm asking you to be the leading edge, because what has to set before us is this must be the case for each one of us. If there is anything in anything other than perfect fellowship that occurs in this body, then you must have the right to, at that instant, go into that concept of prayer. Now, don't try to be spiritual when you're praying. That's boring. Be real. Don't try to use any memorized phrases or holy words, as Bloom calls them. Don't try to even try to... Oh, according to John 3:26, God didn't give a flip about what your according to's are. He wants you to speak from the heart. And there's no situation, there's no area, there's no problem that you've perceived that is strong enough to overcome that simple act. Now, I say this because I know you, that for some of you this is going to be very, very difficult. That which should be the normal, the most easiest thing for a believer to do, but when you put them together with the other person, especially one that's close to them, there's timidity, there's resorting to an act. It can't be done. Some of you think it's foolish. But speak it and speak what's really there. Because hear me, there is nothing that's really there that God didn't put there. I don't care how bad you think it is. And he put it there so that you could speak it, and through that speaking, nourish the new creation. And you refuse to let go until it's resolved. And I'm not talking about resolution after the flesh. I'm talking about, remember we've talked about the old line Pentecostals, you used to talk about praying through until the praying through simply means that a peace settles over you, whether or not you know and see the solution or not. Now, some of you, I guarantee you one thing. There's no way that this can be done speaking, in some instances, speaking the words that come from your understanding. Because the words that come from your understanding and the images that you have of past actions create a box that limit the power of God. And you'll come to a point in this situation where you must begin to pray in the Spirit. And the need, that vacuum, will create what we call the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's not somebody where somebody's going to get down and say, blah, 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 blah. That's not the way it works. The need creates, the vacuum of that need creates the Holy Spirit coming into your life and turning you on fire. And there's a language that'll come from your mouth with groanings that you can't utter, and a prayer that you don't even know the reason. The other thing that'll happen is the gifts of the Spirit will begin to operate in that marriage. And you'll have a word of wisdom about a situation that'll be resolved instantly. You'll have a word of knowledge that'll come. You'll have interpretation. You'll have all the things that some of you, they're not things to worship. They're things that come upon you at a point of need, but only when you admit that need. Well, the only way that you can take your eyes off of yourself, which is what the word deny means, abandon, is to have something better to look at. Otherwise, you're going to sit around and now, the only way that this can be done is in knowledge. It says the eyes of your understanding are opened and you see the reality of what's been created. And I'm serious. When you bite and devour one another, when you scream and yell at each other, if you could visualize or any of the children and see in the spirit that you are mutilating that child, most of you have gotten to the point where arguing doesn't any good, I'll just shut up. I won't say anything. Well, the moment that happens, you are starving the child. You are starving the new entity.
What I thought before tonight and the foolishness I was starting to speak to Judy was I always thought that two incomplete halves came together and formed a whole.
I know you did.
It did not allow for now you are complete in him. It did not address itself to now you're the body of the Christ, body of Christ members in particular. I mean, it was a neurotic approach to marriage.
Right.
Yeah. Looking for completion. And my experience has not been, in two marriages, has not been so much trying to change the other person as it is just the other side of the coin, as it has been trying to change myself because of this neurotic approach.
Now, it doesn't matter, you know, I heard Judy kiddingly say, and others were saying other equally obscene things. It doesn't matter how you visualize and what picture comes to you when you think about a new entity or a new creation. It doesn't matter. Every picture that you could have is inadequate. Doesn't matter whether it's good or bad. It's God's business. Your only business is to cherish and nourish the new creation.
Amen.
And again, this sounds like a how-to, but you know, you have there. You know, it's only because of our immaturity and everything that this is required. But please agree that the only thing I'm asking you to do is that at any time, the other party has the right to halt whatever is happening and agree to sit down together, holding hands, and speak it. Don't even speak to each other. Speak.
If anybody doesn't agree to that,
I'll shoot him.
Please step forward.
But see now, and this is the area that you have to see in its tie-in to the trespass offerings. The offerings were made daily, morning and evening. And the trespass offering had as its basis the giving of a life for the trespass, the restitution of the wrong done, and not only the restitution, but a 20% increase. So if you and the value of that wrong, and that could be, hear me, and it could be as much as a rude glance that's a trespass. But I want you to see that Christ has paid that trespass with his life and much more. So what's set before you, even in the midst of that in which you feel wronged in, is total restitution plus glory. Are you capturing this a little bit? You remember I said last night that God was gloriously happy. He's not mad at you. He's not out to get you. He's gloriously happy because the wrong done to him was a life was paid, the restitution was made, plus much, much more. Now, what I want you to feel and know experientially is the same is true in your interpersonal relationships. But it's only true at the point of confessing it. Now, confession, we always think, I did wrong. Confession is, confession from God's standpoint is, Doug, you pissed me off. No confession is, I'm not going to say it because it'll cause conflict. Now, faith enters the equation in the knowledge that God's word declares that whatever the wrong that you have suffered has been fully repaid, there is full restitution, plus there's a joyous reward. Now, faith says that you must hang your life on that promise. You understand? You walk by faith, not by sight. And as you appropriate that faith, as you walk in that faith, then you're walking in a new creation, in a glorious, wondrous thing that the world has not seen. No matter how slight, there's no such thing. Remember, the word for sin or trespass, It's a word which means that you've missed the mark. And there's no degrees of it. You've either hit it exactly or you've missed it totally. So there's no such thing. I mean, you can say, I shouldn't feel that way, but I think it's just my own stupidity that I feel like he's wronged me or he's... Every time you do that, you've crucified Christ afresh. If you feel it, You speak it. No matter how small or how large it is. But you speak it in the environment of the certainty that restitution has been paid.
Amen.
And that the there is even, in a weird sense, there is a reward for the fact that you've been wrong. So in this way, you can walk through life. Man, that idiot that thinks he's trying to wipe you out or do you harm, and in fact, he's causing a 20% increase to come to you. Whap! I told you this was a disgusting room. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Amen?
Amen.
Anybody have anything else? Do all the married people understand what I've asked you to do?
Scrap that.
No, it all depends.
Okay, what are you saying? Now, but bring to mind, if you will, if you need to, visualize the child. Everybody understand perfectly?
No.
He wasn't
here.
I know
what's expected of me.
He wasn't here in that first part.
Well, he can hear the tape.
Well, I haven't understood what I did here, but not all of it anyway.
Okay.
He came in on the middle of it.
No prayer requests or needs? Pray here.
Yeah, I realized something driving over here tonight that was interesting about how throughout the ages, as long as man's been around, he's always wondered about God and this, that, and that. And it just dawned on me how incredible God is that he's always left room for doubt. He's got so wired that no matter how many times we've experienced his revelation and power and strength, that somehow it works out to where, am I sure? Is there really God? Can you really do something?
Well, that's why we walk. That's what, think about walking. It says we walk by faith, not by sight. The first step you took in faith is the same as the 100th or 10,000th step.
Yeah.
The act of walking is the same. Doesn't matter how much knowledge you have or how much Bible study or how much, each step is an act of faith. As you received him, so walk you in him. You're not going to get any better. Don't try to get better. Better is dumb. Better is for the Baptists and Jerry Falwell and all those guys. But for us sinners, for us that know we're the chief of sinners, there's no other choice than every second to walk by him. Thank you, Father. Praise you.
Father, we just thank you that it is this way, and that daily we must be exhorted and exhort one another and come back into fellowship with each other.
Thank you.
Again, tie to our natural selves and lay our lives down afresh. We thank you, Father, that death on the cross made this possible.
Praise you.
In our own strength.
struck me that this is the cross in the marriage. And I want to say that I know how hard this is going to be for some of you. Don't be afraid to ask one of us to help. Okay? Take it, big guy.